Many of us at times have found ourselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation. We're rather desperate. Well, in our gospel today, we find two such situations. First, there is the daughter of Jairus, the synagogue official. So Jairus approaches Jesus. Keep in mind that right before this scene, Jesus has performed a miracle in the synagogue, curing a man who had some kind of withered, crippled hand. For this we read that the Pharisees and the Herodians began to plot how to destroy Jesus. So is Jairus in on the plot? Hard to say. But he's desperate. He goes to our Lord. He kneels down. He says that his daughter is dying. Please come. And Jesus came. We know that our Lord, in the end, raises the little girl back to new life. He performs that miracle. Then we have this woman with the hemorrhage. She's suffered for 12 years, spent all of her money. One can imagine just dealing with the suffering of that situation, going through all those different medical treatments at the time. Also keep in mind that in the Torah, such a person was considered unclean. To be a person bleeding, or to be a person who comes in contact with blood, rendered a person ritually impure. That meant that the person had to go through this ritual means of purification. In a sense, she's an outcast from society. That too is suffering. This is why she approaches Jesus from behind and just wants to touch his clothes, hoping for the cure. She too is cured. Miracles. How beautiful it is, because they were in truly desperate situations. And desperate comes from the Latin de spero, meaning without hope. So here they turn to our Lord. Here too, we have to wonder, well, what happened afterwards? We don't know. Were they now faithful disciples of Jesus, believing that he's the Lord and Savior? Or did they think, well, God granted this cure, I'm happy, I'll talk to God the next time I'm in a desperate situation? We don't know, but that's a good spiritual point for all of us. Do we only plea and really want that close relationship, seek our Lord, when we're desperate? Or is it an everyday act of faith that we reach out to touch him, that we allow him to enter into our own lives? Well, my brothers and sisters, when we think of this, our Lord came to give new life. The Book of Wisdom reminds us from the Old Testament that God did not create sin, suffering, or death. Remember, Adam and Eve were created in God's image, as are we. They were given an immortal soul with intellect and free will, as are we. They had to make that choice to love God above all things, to serve the Lord first and foremost, as do we. As we know in that primordial event we call the fall, Adam and Eve chose to sin. They wanted to be God, to do their own will, to make up their own commandments, to take control of their own life, to be independent. Because of that sin, suffering, and death entered this world. And so that woundedness has touched our own lives. God still loved, though, and that's why he gave us our Lord Jesus. Jesus, true God, became true man. He came to bring life. He came to bring hope. Therefore, when we look at the saving action of our Lord, his sacrifice on that cross, his resurrection from the dead, his ascension into glory in heaven, we realize, therefore, sin now can become forgivable, that suffering can become redemptive, and death is simply a passing to an everlasting life. The challenge, though, is to believe, to have faith. St. Paul said, if we die with Christ, we will live with Christ. If we persevere with Christ, we will reign with Christ. Christ came, as he said himself in the book of Revelation, I have come to make all things new. With Christ, there's always hope. and we are saved in that hope. So, my brothers and sisters, when we look at our lives, we should remember each day we are called to have that act of faith, to reach out to touch our Lord through our prayer, to allow Him to enter into the home of our soul, especially through the great gifts of the sacraments, particularly the Holy Eucharist. This is how we live our life. We do face times, though, when things may seem desperate. Maybe we have that desperate situation because we have sinned. We feel that woundedness, and that woundedness haunts us. Made the awful mistake, had some kind of failure. Never forget, our Lord forgives. This is why He gave us the sacrament of penance. When we hear the words of absolution, it's like we die to an old life, we rise to a new. Past is past. We don't have to be haunted, as the devil would want us to be, with that opened wound of the past. We may suffer, too, from, of course, death. We all will face death. We know that. We face the death of people that we love. And yet, as hurtful as that is, as sorrowful, we know if a person has died in the faith, that person will have everlasting life in heaven. Even if we've been separated from a loved one for years, eventually, this life passes too. And God willing, in faith, we'll be united with our Lord, the saints, our loved ones in heaven for everlasting life. How beautiful that is. But then there is the physical kind of suffering too, that many people have to bear that kind of a cross. I've known people who have had to deal with things like the cancer, or people with the rheumatoid arthritis that is very crippling. How painful that is. And it can be such a cross. Or it could be something more of an emotional problem. People who battle depression, or they battle anxiety, that too can cause such turmoil in an individual's life. I've known people that battle addictions, be it alcohol or some kind of drugs, and it truly is a battle in their lives. Such suffering. Yet never forget, when we face those kinds of sufferings, and we all do, in some ways, at some point in our life, we keep our eyes fixed on that cross. We look at Jesus, and we say, Lord, help me, embrace me. And with that, then our suffering is not meaningless, but rather, our suffering is redemptive. We can use our suffering, just like our Lord, to atone for our own sins, the hurts caused by our sins, to atone for the poor souls in purgatory, to atone for people we know who've gone astray, who've been caught in sin, for just even the situation in this world that is so wounded. Yes, we can offer our sufferings for them, and that is an act of love. Then, too, we say, just as Jesus did from the cross, Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit. Yes, we may be going through medical treatments or some kinds of therapies, but we say, Lord, I commend myself into your hands. And with that, we find freedom. We surrender. And we know Christ fills us with his love, and whatever happens will be truly for the good. That Christ will be with us always in his love. I think of a young lady I knew, and she was the daughter of my secretary at my other parish. And so this is about 20 years ago. So Kathleen, the young mom, 30-some years old, three young kids, was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. Tragic. And she started going through radical surgery, the chemotherapy, the radiation, but things did not seem to be getting better. Like any human being, poor victims that we are, she would ask, why? Why me? I've got a family. I'm young. And so on. And yet her husband, who was a convert to the faith, said, Kathleen, never forget, keep your eyes on that cross. We do believe in redemptive love. Well, eventually she even took a pilgrimage to Malta, to Lourdes with the Knights of Malta that they sponsor every year. And yes, she was hoping for a real miracle, for a physical cure. Well, she didn't receive that physical cure, but when she came back, she shared with her mom, who shared with me, that she had said, "I didn't receive the physical miracle, but I'm at peace. Jesus has filled me with love, and I know that he will take care of me, and he will take care of my family." She passed away in the love of her family with great faith. That is really miraculous. The hand of God was with her. The challenge then, also, in this gospel passage is this. Isn't it sad that the poor woman with the hemorrhage was like the outcast? Too often times, when the person we know, the neighbor, even the friend, even the relative, when that person has the serious illness or there's the problem, we no longer want to deal with it. We sort of walk away. We're great with the fun times, but some people walk away. They don't want to deal with it. Or the person we know who is facing death or has faced the death of a loved one, all of a sudden, we may show up for the funeral, but then where are we a month later, 2 months later? Are we there to check in and support that person? The word compassion means to share in the sufferings, from the Latin cum patior. So we should never forget that while there is suffering, you and I are called to be the instrument of our Lord to help the person who suffers. So my brothers and sisters, as we offer this Mass, let us open our hearts, truly lift up our hearts to the Lord, to reach out to him this day and welcome him into our lives, our very soul, and know his love, a love that never fails. May God bless you.